talk today to you about the measurement of the influence of secondary conditions upon participation. Let me give you a list of the characters, the cast of characters, the usual suspects, we call them. We're all at Washington University in St. Louis in the program in occupational therapy. The objectives today are to measure the impact of secondary conditions on participation and participation in activities. And I don't want to get into the distinction of ICF with, between participation and activity. I'm using the everyday language of doing something. Identify four methods of developing a measure of secondary conditions. The idea is to come up with a number to describe the impact of secondary conditions on different aspects of life, and then describe the utility of these measures. This is part of a project funded by the Missouri Foundation for Health. The data was collected at the Enabling Mobility Center, which is a part of the Independent Living Center, Paraquat Independent Living Center in St. Louis, and it was a joint effort with Washington University again and Paraquat. The PIs were David Gray and Bob Funk of Paraquat. Some background, yesterday afternoon, Molly Lissenberg reported on some aspects of the project and how exercise might impact on secondary conditions. Later today, Angela Monzen is going to also report on the same project with exercise adherence. There's also a poster session at lunchtime by Sue Tucker that has a fuller description of the exercise and health and wellness program. My part of this project was to do a secondary data analysis of secondary conditions, if that's possible. The idea was to help these researchers study the impact of exercise and health awareness project on secondary conditions. Some background. Activity participation can be measured by a number of different ways. One would be just a list of activities that people participate in, taking a bus, eating a meal, etc. The number of activities participated in a day, a month, a year, an hour, whatever. The amount of time spent on an activity, or something a little bit more subjective like satisfaction or control of the activity or the importance of that activity to a person. Secondary conditions can also be measured somewhat in the same way. We could have a list of the secondary conditions that a person is encountered. The number of conditions, the duration of the condition, is it lifetime or it just happened, or is it a temporal or permanent? And the severity, which is a little bit more subjective, the severity of a particular secondary condition may differ by person. Some pros and cons. The list of activities are excellent for clinicians or therapists. They want to treat the condition, and so they need that list of conditions. For the numbers guys, it's a little bit more complicated, that list. We need something a little bit more simple to deal with, the idea of parsimony. The number of activities or conditions is a summary measure, which I believe assumes that each condition or each activity is of equal importance. If I can give you an example, Sunday there was a marathon in New York, and for the winner of the ladies' side, an English lady, she had one activity for 2 hours and 33 minutes, right? During that time, I watched the event on television. I had one activity for 2 hours and 30 minutes, right? But there's a difference in the one does not equal one in that case. Others may have arrived at Reagan Airport, taken the metro train to the hotel, checked in, came over here and read, four or five activities in the same 2 hours and 30 minutes. And the five activities or six activities you did during those 2 hours is different than the one activity that the lady in from England did. As a measure of activity or a measure of secondary conditions, we can talk about time. the duration of that of the secondary condition or the amount of time taken to prepare a meal. Time measures are somewhat easy to summarize. A little bit more subjective is the severity or satisfaction or choice or the subjective kinds of measures of activities conditions of secondary conditions. In our project, there was a question, in the core questionnaire, we asked participants to talk about 19 different secondary conditions, and the form of the questions looked like this. Have you ever experienced pain as one of the secondary conditions? If a person checks yes, then did they, if they checked yes, then we asked them if they experienced pain in the past 3 months. If they checked no, then they went to the next secondary condition, which might be fatigue or UTI or some other secondary condition, and you'll see a list in a moment. If they checked yes that they experienced in the past 3 months, how much has pain limited your participation in daily activities, or how much has fatigue limited your participation in daily activities. And this was a 4-point Likert scale, three numerical code of three, meaning that this secondary condition limited participation in daily activities a great deal. Zero indicating that it didn't limit participation at all. We then asked, in terms of the if they'd had experienced the condition in the last 3 months, did they seek medical attention for that secondary condition? The thought being that if the condition was that severe to seek medical attention, it should have some impact on participation in daily activities. Here's a list of the 19 secondary conditions that we had in our survey. Sorry for the small fonts. We had 45 participants. There's different numbers involved or different ends involved in this project. These are the 45 folks that began an exercise program from a base of about 75 people who initially volunteered to start the program and consented. 45 actually started an exercise program at the Enabling Mobility Center. The secondary conditions of pain and fatigue and to some extent falls were the most predominant secondary conditions self-reported by the subjects. Maybe a little bit easier way to see it. Again, pain, fatigue, and falls. If I can, skin. Those reporting. 50% more than 50% of the participants reported the secondary conditions of skin problems, UTI, circulatory problems, bladder incontinence, shoulder, elbow, or wrist problems, spasticity, falls, fatigue, or pain. Secondary conditions reported by less than 50% of the participants were depression, weight problems, high blood pressure, bowel incontinence, upper respiratory infection, finger toenail infections, contractures, scoliosis, osteoporosis, and autonomic dysplexia. On our influence scale, again, a 4-point Likert scale from 0 to 3, pain and fatigue were reported as means to be a little have a little impact on participation. Let me show you that again with a bar graph. A little, remember the response is not at all, a little, somewhat, and a great deal of influence on participation. In our group, only pain and fatigue scored above as an average, above a level. But these are our folks that have volunteered to start exercising. And so they may have a little bit less experience with secondary conditions. They're ready to do some things. They're probably their participation in the program is not impacted by these secondary conditions. And that should have some bearing on the outcomes. the medical attention in the past 3 months, 40% of the cases actually went to a doctor, sought medical attention in the last 3 months for pain. 29 or nearly 29% of the participants sought medical attention in the last 3 months for high blood pressure. What I want to note here is that later on I want to take this information and rank order it and then provide weights to come up with a measure of the impact of seeking medical attention on participation. And so I've rank ordered the secondary conditions 9 to 1 and then changed those ranks, if you will, to weights so that the sum of the weights is 100, so that somebody who's experienced all 19 secondary conditions in the last 3 months, I'm sorry, all those subjects who have sought medical attention in the past 3 months for all 19 conditions would have a score of 100, and the subject or a participant who has not sought medical attention at all in the last 3 months would have a score of 0, right? And here's a bar graph showing the secondary conditions seeking medical attention the past 3 months. Let me move on. Some scoring schemes. For the question, if yes, how much has pain limited your participation in the daily activities? I've computed two different scores, one a Roche score, and given the assumptions to do a Roche analysis, we've converted rating scale data into an interval measure, and one of the benefits of that is to somewhat separate personal scores so that we can discriminate, if you will, between a high achiever and a low achiever is where it started with in Roche scoring. Principal components is a technique within factor analysis, and given again the assumptions of the data to do factor analysis, the idea is to maximally separate respondents on a continuum. I also, for the did you seek medical attention for this condition the past 3 months? I created the weighting score based on the frequency of the condition that required medical attention, which I explained earlier. Structure is a factor analysis concept. The idea is that we've now computed a score. Actually, we've computed three scores for each subject in the data set: a Roche score, a principal component score, and then a weighted score based on medical attention. And the idea is that now we can correlate the response of a subject's response to pain or the other secondary conditions. We can correlate that response with the composite score. And we look at the magnitude of these correlations to get a feel for what that composite score is trying to or what it's made up of. In this case, the numbers in red or bolded or highlighted in red are the conditions that loaded highly on the or with great magnitude, if you will, on those composite scores. For the Roche score, pain, fatigue, shoulder, elbow, wrist, bladder incontinence, and weight problems were the highest loadings, if you will. Principal components only had one high loading and several moderate loadings, and the medical attention had 2-4 secondary conditions that loaded somewhat. It's interesting to note that the UTI secondary condition in spasticity did not load at all on any of the three composite scores. I'm not sure what that means. If I had to say something at this point, the Roche score is using most of the information, or using more of the information than the other scores. What are we going to do with this stuff? One of the things we want is to see if there's patterns of secondary conditions that are associated with specific diagnoses. There's a real good paper by Rebsluit, Seeking, and Walsh in 1997, which I came upon after I started this research, and they've done a similar kind of study with a larger sample and about 40 secondary conditions, and one of their attempts, or one of the things they tried to do was to ask if physical impairments predicted secondary conditions. If I could use that those words, that the prediction thing, and found that they couldn't do it very well with the data that they had. I'll try to do it a little bit differently, and I'll show you that in a moment. I also want to know, as a utility, it can participation in activities of daily living, are those activities related to secondary conditions, or how do secondary conditions impact participation? And the first problem, the idea is, if you will, classification. Can we classify people by their secondary conditions? And one technique is a technique called discriminant analysis, where the independent variable in this example would be, or in this data project would be, mobility device. Again, the previous research was trying to use as an independent variable impairment. We have impairment, but there were too many impairments in the study to really do this very well. An earlier study that we did, we found a high concordance between diagnosis and mobility device, and so that's led to this independent variable. The dependent variable in this discriminant analysis would be the influence of secondary conditions on participation, that Likert 4-point scale. The first discriminant function was significant at the 0.5 level. I think lack of sample size and some variability prevented other discriminant functions to be significant. This is what discriminant analysis calls a territorial map. Along the horizontal axis is referred to as the canonical discriminant function 1, which is the most significant function. And again, the idea is, can we maximally separate groups on this 19 independent variables, the influence of participation by the 19 secondary conditions? And that function is significant according to the 0.5 level of significance, and it seems to be separating folks in a power wheelchair from folks that use cane, crutch, or walkers. And to some extent, it's separating, if you will, or discriminating, poor choice of words, but it's statistical language, between power wheelchair users and manual chair wheel users as well. If the second function had been significant, then it would be separating, if you will, cane, crutch, walker users from manual wheelchair users. Here's the structure associated with that discriminant analysis, and note that the loadings for the first function has a negative loading for fatigue and positive loadings for UTI, bowel incontinence, finger toenail infections, and scoliosis. So to somebody who does not have the secondary conditions of UTI, bowel incontinence, finger toenail infections, or scoliosis, but has fatigue, would score to the left of 0 on that discriminant function, who would more likely be a cane crutch walker user. A participant who does not consider fatigue as a secondary condition, but those other conditions as a problem, would score higher on that function and more likely be a power wheelchair user. So there was some evidence that we could predict device use or device user. I'm not sure why we'd want to do that, but the idea is there a pattern, or are there patterns of secondary conditions that can describe a mobility device user? And if we can keep going with this, maybe there's patterns that would help describe diagnoses or impairments. The second function, if it was significant, are all negative loadings on falls, depression, and high blood pressure. To score low, to get into the cane, crutch, walker part of that territorial map, one would score a half high scores on those three items. And so think about how that's separating manual wheelchair users from cane grip walkers, had that been significant. The other thing I wanted to do was, I'm curious if there's a relationship between the secondary condition score that we've created, or those scores that we've created, and participation in activities, which it was really the driving force to help the other researchers in this project. That was their thought, was that if we exercise, if folks exercise and pay attention to a health handbook, that secondary conditions would hopefully decrease and participation in activities of daily living would increase. So here are the inner correlations of the four measures that were created in this project, and there are poor correlations or intercorrelations with the discriminant score, because that discriminant score is computed for a different reason. It's computed to maximally discriminate groups, not to maximally separate people along a continuum. There appears to be a pretty good relationship between the Rosh score and the principal component score, and the purpose of those two composite, or the development of those two composite scores, is to do some sort of person separation thing. Here's our correlations with participation. Dr. Gray's developed six domains of activities related to the ICF, and we see that in this case, participation that I'm particularly interested in is what we call it QOP, quality of participation, sort of a takeoff of quality of life. And it involves control or choice of one's participation in an activity, how satisfied one's participation in an activity, and how important that activity is to a person. If an activity is not particularly important, then it's not a big deal. So we find, in my mind, pretty good correlations or a pretty good correlation between the Rosh score and that concept of quality participation and what's called the social domain, socializing and those sorts of activities. There's some, I guess, moderate correlations, 0.47, 0.48, 0.5, also with the principal component Rosh scores for some of the other domains. And we wouldn't expect good correlations between the discriminant scores and participation in those domains, because again, the discriminant scores is computed for a different reason. So there's some hope. Limitations. It's a small group, 45 subjects, 19 particular secondary conditions that we feel are associated with people with mobility limitations. Hope to expand this. I thank you for your attention.